The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
This is Grace in Focus, and today we are looking at Luke 5:32. Is this passage talking about repentance, describing the saving message? What is repentance, and what is its purpose? Things we'll talk about today on Grace in Focus. We're so glad that you've joined us today, friend. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're located in North Texas, and we have a website. We'd love for you to go there and find out more about us, including there's a free subscription to our magazine there for you. It's a beautiful magazine, 48 pages, is published 6 times a year, and all you have to do is sign up for it. Free, all except if you live outside of the 48 United States, you have to pay the postage. We'd love for you to have it. Find it at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
And we got a question from John.
And this is a question not about John, but about Luke 5:32, one of our favorite verses because it's a repentance verse.
Yes, and I'm going to read Luke 5:32. Well, start with 31. This is after Jesus goes to Levi or Matthew's house for a feast. And he's eating with a bunch of tax gatherers and sinners. And the religious leaders are upset and ask why he's eating with them. And
so tax collectors were considered notorious sinners.
Right.
Harlots were considered notorious sinners. This is a group of lowlifes in the eyes of the Jewish people that really couldn't be saved.
Yes. And that's important as we're going to answer this question, because Jesus' answer is, here's why he's eating with them. These are his words. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. John's question is that this verse is saying that repentance is needed for salvation. It's interesting here that he doesn't use the word salvation here.
The Lord Jesus
does. The Lord doesn't. And then he says it also indicates that the forgiveness of sins is, this is his words, John's words, the central issue in salvation, because Jesus is saying these sinners need to repent. So his point would be,
of course, the verses do not mention anything about forgiveness of sins either.
Right.
So both of those things John is discussing, but Jesus isn't.
Yes, but here's what John is saying. John is saying that Jesus says a sinner needs to repent. Well,
to be saved and to be forgiven.
Yeah, he's saying save, yeah. But what he's saying is that if a sinner needs to repent, what is he repenting of? He's repenting of his sins.
Yeah.
And he knows that he needs a forgiveness. He knows that he's a sinner.
Right.
That's John's point, that he's taking this verse as evangelistic. And what he's saying is Jesus' words here, if this is an evangelistic word, these sinners need to repent. In other words, they need to know that they're sinners. They need to realize that they need to turn from these sins. And so his question is repentance required? And then is it proper to say you need the forgiveness of your sins?
Yeah, and the question is required for what? Yeah, it's required for something, for somebody, for some situations. But clearly, if you read what the Lord said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So according to this, do the people who are well need to repent?
No.
Do people who are righteous need to repent?
No.
Okay. And are there such people? That's the other question.
Yeah. I think, even though he doesn't say this, John, but I've heard this enough, what they would say is that there are people who think they are righteous. There are people who, and that would be the religious leaders here.
And,
you know, the religious leaders are dogging Jesus for eating with these sinners. They think they are righteous. And what Jesus is saying is, well, if you think you're righteous, then you don't need to do that.
Well, the problem is that's a misunderstanding of Scripture, including, look at Luke 1:6. Luke 1:6 talking about John the Baptist's parents. And it says, and they were both righteous before God. Zacharias and Elizabeth were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. He's not saying they were righteous in their position. He's saying they are righteous in their behavior. They're keeping the commandments blamelessly. These are the parents of John the Baptist. John the Baptist himself was a righteous person, right? Jesus said, of all those born of men, there's no one greater.
And then, of course, we have in the early chapters of Luke as well, Simeon and Anna in the temple.
Right, and they're righteous. And so there are lots of righteous people, probably hundreds of righteous people, or maybe thousands of righteous people in Israel who are looking forward to the coming Messiah. And those people Jesus isn't calling to repentance. They're not sick. They don't need to repent. And that's part of the problem with the way people view repentance. I would agree with John that repentance relates to sin. And it's more than just changing my mind about my sin. It's actually turning from it. If I know, for example, that I'm involved in immorality and that's displeasing to the Lord, repentance is not just changing my mind about it and going, you know, that's not good for me or that's not pleasing to God. That's not repentance. Repentance is actually turning from it.
Yeah, I didn't read this, and John's email is a little bit longer, so I had to summarize it. He defines repentance as a change of mind about sin. Not necessarily turning from sin, but a change of mind about sin.
Yeah, and I would say it's clearly turning from sin.
Yeah, so Bob and I would agree that if I look at sin in my life and I go, you know what, I really ought to stop doing it, but I keep doing it, then I haven't repented.
Right.
We will rejoin in just a moment. But years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
Luke chapter 15 is the great repentance chapter. You've got the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, or the prodigal son. Well, think of the prodigal son. He's in the far country. He wastes all his inheritance on prodigal living. The famine is in the land. No one gives him anything. He's hungry. He ends up feeding pigs. And he comes to his senses. I believe that's when he begins the path of repentance. He realizes things are better back with his father than even for the hired hands of his father than where he is now. And so he returns to his father. When is his repentance complete? It's not just when he comes to his senses and thinks it's better to go home. If he stays in the far country, he hasn't repented yet. It's not until he gets back to the Father that he has repented.
And we could even add on that, a lot of people think repentance is just feeling sorry for your sin. No, I can feel sorry for it. Like, yeah, I really ought to stop doing this. And I might even cry. But if I don't stop doing it, then I haven't repented.
Yeah, on the other hand, you might not even feel sorry for it, and yet you repent.
I say that to people, and sometimes I get funny stares when I say, what if I turn from my sin, but I'm not really that sorry for it? Have I repented?
Yeah, and the answer is yes, because if you know that the passing pleasure of sin is far worse than the long-term pain, then you will say, take an alcoholic.
Right.
Is there an alcoholic that doesn't think getting drunk has a little appeal? I mean, I don't ever want to do it again because it brings all these bad things in my life, but I'm tempted to drink again, right?
Right. Or take a guy who's having an affair. A guy having an affair could really like what he's doing. I mean, he really, really enjoys it. He's not sad about it, what he's doing, but he realizes this is really destructive to my marriage. This is going to affect my career. This is going to affect my relationship with my kids. I'm going to stop doing this. So I'm not sorry for what I'm doing. It's just that I recognize the...
Now, you should be sorry.
You should, right.
Because you should recognize that this is displeasing to the Lord, I'm sorry about it. But I remember Zane Hodges talking about this one time, and he said, look, we don't want to psychoanalyze ourselves and decide, am I sorry enough?
Right.
Because he said, it's really not a matter of being sorry. It's a matter of being honest.
Right.
Do I confess to God that this is sin?
Right.
In the case of repentance.
And doing something that is unwise.
Right.
And that's it. It's not the feelings of remorse, although most of the time they're going to be there, but not necessarily.
But in this passage, he's not talking about the new birth. He's not talking about the forgiveness of sins. He's talking about people who are righteous and people who are not righteous. The righteous don't need to repent. It's those who are unrighteous.
And Jesus is eating with those who need to repent.
Right. He was eating with tax collectors and sinners.
Right.
And those were people, some of whom were believers, many of whom were not.
Well, we know that Levi was.
Right. He had come
Levi's there.
And now, I assume Levi was already not only a believer, but in fellowship with him, and he didn't need to repent. But there were many of those there who would need to repent.
Right. And so,
but not to needing to repent to be born again, needing to repent to be in fellowship with God.
I'm assuming you would agree with me that the very picture of Jesus eating with them is a picture of fellowship.
That's why the Jewish religious leadership got so mad.
Yeah, why are you in fellowship with these nasty people?
Right.
And Jesus says, well, I'm wanting nasty people to repent so that I can have fellowship. And I want the nation to do that. The nation needs to do that, which is John the Baptist and Jesus's. Before God would have fellowship with that generation of Jews and the nation of Israel in the kingdom, the nation needed to repent.
Yeah, we just did a series on Mark, and we pointed out that the kingdom would not come until the nation believed in its Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, for everlasting life, and was in fellowship with God. That is, they're a repentant nation. And so when Jesus is talking here about this repentance, he's talking about what the nation of Israel needs.
Right.
He wasn't going out and trying to get all the Gentiles in the world to repent. He was trying to get all the Jews in Israel to repent.
And let me just say,
though, of course, he wants Gentiles to repent, too. Don't get me wrong. But he wasn't sent to the Gentiles. He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Yeah. And for John, let me just say in closing here, let's just summarize it, how this applies to us. Eternal life is not given by turning from your sins, feeling sorry for your sins, confessing your sins. It is by believing in Jesus Christ alone for it.
Right.
But when we find ourselves living unrighteous lives, we need to turn from those to have fellowship with the Lord.
Right. And even an unbeliever who realizes as he's on a destructive path needs to turn from his wicked ways in order to escape all of the judgment they're reaping. And that will then put them on a path where they might be more open to going to church, to talking to a Christian, to reading the Bible, to praying, right? To be open to the saving message.
Which is what the nation needed to do. If they repented of their sins, they would be moving in the direction to believing in the one that John was pointing to.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, John. Great question. We appreciate it. And remember,
keep grace
in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, which followers of Christ will be closest to him in eternity? Good question. Please join us. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.